All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome to the fray. We appreciate you on this Monday. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, and now SportsMap 94.1. If you missed anything in the first 2 hours, you are not an official suspect yet. But as suspect as that behavior is, you can go back and check the podcastarena.com or ESPN975.com and check some of the great stuff that you missed. And on top of that, I suggest you download the app at ESPN975.com. Therefore, you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss a thing.
Yeah, somebody asked on the text count or the text line, have you guys talked about Josh Gordon potentially going to the Patriots? Yes, we covered that and so much more. Hit up podcastarena.com for all of that and more. Somebody also texted and said, y'all have the best show on 97.5. No boring coaches shows. They sound like broken records every week. Just a different team they talk about playing. Keep it up, guys.
Appreciate
we love you.
You
so much, sir, or and or ma'am. I shouldn't say and. It should just be sir or, well.
We don't endorse.
Nowadays, I guess
we don't endorse
could be.
Other shows on our station being bashed. We just endorse
correct.
The love.
Well, we don't have those coaches type shows on this station.
I know who does. Who doesn't?
Well, touche, sir. Touche indeed. Eric Resendez said, I don't know why what kind of soccer y'all are watching, but my soccer is good.
Sometimes well, Madden doesn't count. I mean, video games don't
FIFA?
Count.
FIFA. Yeah, sometimes a tie is a great result. Let me just stop you right there.
Stop.
A tie is never a great result, Eric Resendez.
Yeah, but that's someone who appreciates soccer. You know what I mean? That's,
yeah.
You know, Dell probably is okay with a draw, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Maybe Ron Culver.
Dale's
well.
Also like favorite position is missionary, and he eats vanilla ice cream.
See, I didn't say all that.
I was going to say, we're going all the way there?
Well, I mean, you know.
What's wrong with missionary position, man?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but if that's your favorite?
Yeah.
Boring.
You think Dale's that guy?
Yeah. I mean, if you like ties in sports, you're probably a missionary guy with vanilla ice cream. And
I'm
just
pretty much
know.
Just leaving y'all go on that.
Okay.
Have at it.
Very good. So we didn't get to talk about your Badgers all that much.
I talked about them all I needed to talk about.
I mean,
about.
What
they're
happened?
They're overrated. Their quarterback, Hornibrook, I said from the beginning of the season before they played anybody, is terrible. And as good as their offensive line and running game is, and Taylor still had a decent game, they showed who they were, who they are, and who they hope to be is not there yet. So, boom.
Well, I don't think there was a chance they won the Big Ten anyways.
I think they got to the Big Ten championship game. If they were really at least a legit top eight type team, they would have gotten to the Big Ten championship unscathed because their schedule was soft without Ohio State on it.
Speaking of Ohio State versus TCU.
Good game.
It really was for a while. I mean, TCU was even up at half. Ohio State loses Nick Bosa. And I was like, oh, boy, this is not good. They lose Bosa. They're down 14-13 at the half. And then they come out and they score those three touchdowns in like 5 minutes or something like that. And it was like, well.
They got a quarterback that can play.
Thanks for playing. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they got a quarterback that can play, unlike Wisconsin. Yeah.
And did you see on the side? I don't know if you got to watch the game. But on the sidelines, did you happen to see who one of the coaches was for TCU? Mm-mm. You remember Kenny Trill? Kenny Hill?
Yeah, former quarterback.
Aggie quarterback?
And TCU had, quarterback,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. He is now a student coach.
Is that right?
And he had on the headset and the hat. I was like, what? This is weird.
Is weird.
Yeah, it looked weird, but good for him for sticking with it, football and not, you know. But boy, for a time there, he was the story in college football.
Well, because he even after Money Manziel patented, he did his own patent of something.
Kenny Trill,
yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, Kenny Trill Hill.
Good for him.
And then it was all down Kenny Hill from there. we talked USC Texas. Texas has TCU. That's going to be an interesting game. I tell you what, if Texas can get the job done versus TCU. This is the Big 12, I think, might become a three-horse race. Really, I mean, let's face it. OU is running away with the Big 12. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
At least Oklahoma State showed up.
Oak State shows up. Texas beats TCU. They show up. It'll make for much more interesting. And one of the commercials during that Ohio State-TCU game was super sad because they're like, you could feel the desperation for relevance by the Big 12 because they're like, all of our games matter and we have a championship to crown an undisputed winner. Yeah, only because you got shamed publicly for having a couple of years ago having a tie, which cost your guys a chance at a national championship and a playoff spot, you idiots. So, yeah, now they're like, oh, we do it the right way. Yeah, everybody else has been doing it the right way. Welcome to the 21st century, Big 12. It was a sad commercial.
I mean, did Auburn show you? I mean, obviously they had chances. That it was a good game. I enjoyed watching the Auburn-LSU game, but they didn't really impress me all that much for as high as they were ranked and as everybody was talking about them and Bama and all this other stuff. I was like, meh.
No, it really, I mean, LSU, I felt like, kind of stifled them the whole game.
Uh-huh.
Stidham didn't do much at all. I mean, they had the kid, what's his name, running back, Whitlow.
Their running game looked decent.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I still was impressed with LSU and what they were able to do because I really didn't think that this... I honestly don't think anybody did.
Anybody believe in Ed Orgeron before this season started?
He seemed aloof to me. He always seemed aloof.
That's what I thought.
I still think that to some degree, yeah. But I think that, you know, he's got obviously unbelievable skill position players except for quarterback. And we said, like Michigan, like Texas, LSU has been known to always struggle with the one recruiting position that you got to have. But this year... they seem like they got a kid, whether you call him a game manager or whatever you want to call him. When they needed to come up with a player or two, they got it.
Yeah, and I think defensively they're better than we probably gave them credit
always
for. Yeah,
so good. They recruit the right way. They get good players. So, look, they're going to have to be reckoned with. That makes the SEC that much more exciting to watch because they're the premier conference in football this year, obviously. And when LSU was relevant, and A&M's on the well, here's the thing we didn't mention. Here's the thing we didn't mention. Boy, did Jimbo Fisher make the right move. Not only did he get out of a bad situation, but he got paid handsomely, and he is in a safe situation. Because that
Florida State
is a certified dumpster fire full of crap at Florida State.
It's funny, because I had lunch with a guy on, was it Friday? Well, did I tell you I was going to meet that guy? That was in town for Fluffy's
special? Oh, Friday,
special.
I think it was Friday.
So I had lunch with a guy associated with him, and... he's a huge Florida State fan. He's from Florida. And we were talking Seminoles. He's like, man, you know, because I asked him, I was like, well, as an Aggie fan, what should I expect from Jimbo Fisher? And he's like, I think Jimbo Fisher checked out in Florida State before he left. He said, in fact, he stopped recruiting halfway through his final year. And so, because he knew he was gone. He knew he was going to A&M. So he stopped recruiting, which really screwed Taggart because all these recruits that they had lined up, when Taggart went back to them, they were like, no, you guys stopped paying attention to me a long time ago. I don't want to play for Florida State. Because as you know, when it comes to recruiting, these kids love attention. And if you're not giving them constant attention, they don't want to play for you. They get their feelings hurt. So Jimbo Fisher kind of screwed Taggart. Not that that would have changed anything, but he was now a half season behind in all of his recruiting and lost all the folks that he had the opportunity to get. So he comes in, though. Here's the difference. He comes in, just like Jimbo Fisher did, with a group of kids that doesn't fit his style. Jimbo Fisher came into A&M with a bunch of guys that play an air raid style attack and wants to run a pro offense and has done a decent job at getting those kids in the positions to play in a pro style offense to kind of mix it up a little bit. Taggart's the complete opposite. He went into a system where he wants to run an air raid style attack and all he has is pro style offense, and trust me, the offensive line is different when you do that. The pass blocking and run blocking is different. Everything is different about those two styles. So I feel kind of bad for him, but you can't go out and lose to Syracuse, all that said. You just can't do that. Syracuse,
you were losing
better
to Samford.
Syracuse is better than people think, but not that much better.
No, Syracuse is obviously getting it straightened out, but they're losing
garbage
to Samford.
They're not that good.
We're trying to be nice.
Too,
Palillo might be listening.
Of the people that I talked to that really are deep and know Florida State too, they said, look, Jimbo got tired of the fact that Bobby Bowden had it so good for so long that he constantly was like, no, we're good. We don't need new facilities. We don't need new buildings. We don't need none of that stuff. And Jimbo's like, if you want me to compete with Alabama and the big name schools to win national championships, I need my football only facilities. I need practice indoors. I need all these things I'm not getting. And after banging his head against the wall for so many years, he said, you know what? There are greener pastures out there where I can get the money and still have a chance to do what I want to do, which is compete for a national title.
And I believe that wholeheartedly. I mean, I think I know who your source is.
Well, I have more than one, but that is one of them.
Yeah. I could see that. I could totally see that. A couple things. Somebody said, well, we'll do it. We'll do it on the break. I don't want to run into the break here, but we'll get to a few more texts because folks are asking, did you see the fair catch, the fake fair catch versus the Razorbacks?
Yeah.
We got to talk about that.
We sure should.
People are asking about the fights and some other stuff. So we got a bunch more texts from you. 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show.
There you go. We'll be back in just a few minutes. But before that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I switched to Infuse Energy a little over a year ago. And people, I'm just giving you an honest a testament to why I did what I did and how it's worked out for me. I switched to Infuse Energy because I was tired of paying the big name energy companies prices, getting locked into contracts that when they expire, you get roped into different rates that you didn't agree to. And it's just a scam. So I tried to Infuse Energy because I wanted a locally owned and operated company that really has my back. And I got exactly that. I got it from the minute I picked up the phone and I called them. And I knew that it was different because unlike the automated systems where you say yes or no, or, you know, your address, and they say, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Well, you get so frustrated by the time you actually get to someone on the phone, it's already a situation that seems like it's going to be a no-win. Well, it's not the case with Infuse Energy. You get a human being on the phone. They ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to identify when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for business or for your family? And they can give you all the deals that they have going and tell you how it compares to all the different companies in the marketplace. In most cases, they're going to beat any other rate that is given and set you up with a great deal. In some cases, they're not going to be able to beat a competitor's price, and they're going to tell you because they want to be 100% honest, like a true friend. That means that even in the case of giving you the company that can beat their rates, they know that at least they have gotten you to the point where you realize, hey, they're not all about the mighty dollar. They're in it for the long haul. They want to be trusted. They're not trying to trick you, deceive you, or give you obscure details so that you just lock on with them. They want to make sure that you trust and you believe in who you're going to go with for your energy provider. That means maybe you'll try that other company, but you'll be back because you know that they're honest, and that's a huge, huge deal when you're trying to find companies to do business with. You mentioned ESPN 97.5 right off the top. You get a $25 bill credit, and they go from there. Give them a call, 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, or infuseenergy.com. Infuse energy into your life.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects, SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. We all know that a lot of you like to play fantasy football, but sometimes you don't want to get locked down for the whole season. Well, you can play with us. Just log on to ESPN975.com, click on the Pro Football Pick'em, brought to you by Bombshells, and you can play for a week, a couple of weeks, or if you have it all figured out, you can play for the entire season. Each week, we're giving away prizes to the top three winners. One of this week's prizes is a $50 gift card to Hotel.com. I think it's hotels.com, but don't get me lying. And
catch
as
you.
Since it is Captain Obvious, who says, nothing says hotels.com lets you do you, like this quote that says, hotels.com lets you do you. And because I read that on the fly and deciphered all of that, I should get something from hotels.com too. But in the meantime, we're going to save all the prizes for you. So check it out, ESPN975.com, and play Pro Football Pick'em with us.
All right, couple texts.
Yes.
From Dave, when's your next live remote broadcast? Love to plan ahead.
We've got a couple
this
week.
It's this week?
Yeah.
Do we?
I think the Blitz have three, but we have two.
This week?
Yeah.
No, not this week.
I think so.
No.
Yeah, Tyler says yes, I think.
No, I didn't think that was the case.
Well, let me.
Ooh, that sucks because I'm in San Antonio. We know how that goes.
Yeah, we sure do.
Hmm. Yeah,
life I leave in a broom closet.
I leave for San Antonio Wednesday after the show, So hopefully that's not the case. I thought our next one wasn't
until... We got one on Friday for sure.
Where?
I'm looking right. Prime Social. We're at Prime Social on Friday.
Oh, well, they just popped that on us because I don't have that on my calendar. Look at this. What's going on here, Nicholas? How come I don't have that on my calendar?
He didn't send it in the highlights and the email a little that John's pretty good.
Michelle will send me the stuff to add to my calendar.
So I added it to my calendar already.
I mean, feel free to blame anybody you want except for me.
As a technologically advanced person like I am, in the tech world and being a techie and I, you know, that kind
you're
of
an
guy.
Absolute geek.
I already had it on my calendar.
But not because you're technically sound.
Yeah, geek. I could be a geek.
I know we had, was it Buku next week on the 27th? And I have our usual suspects and the Blitz live from Luke's Ice House October 5th. I have nothing for the 21st.
Well, that's on you. That's okay. About as simple as I can break that
all
down.
All right, all right. Fair enough.
Because, let's see.
Well, there you go. That answers the question. It's
John
Friday.
Has us broadcasting from Prime Social this week. Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, better find a replacement because they won't let me do it remotely.
Oh, that's easy to find someone to replace you. That's easy. You can find that in a heartbeat. Right, Joel?
You didn't see that coming, did you?
God, I hate you so much.
That was like an 18-wheeler going 90 right at your freaking grill.
Hate you so much.
I didn't know. I mean, whatever you guys want to do, I'm open, so I don't care.
Somebody said, clearly that guy that texted that y'all were the best show has never listened to The Blitz because Fred and AJ are far better than the usual suspects. Y'all are good.
So you'll read that.
Y'all are good, but not The Blitz. Yeah, that's how it works. I read all of my hate. I read none of yours. And I read some of Nick's, not all of it.
That's not true. You read some of mine. That's fine. And if you don't, I do.
That's that's more accurate. How bad are the Razorbacks? Also, any thoughts on that fake fair catch? That was, if you didn't see it, first of all, the Razorbacks are garbage.
They are.
Really
hot garbage,
really
and they
bad.
Deserve it like, for Brett Bielema. They should live in that pee hole for a long time.
Yeah, if you're a Razorbacks fan, now is a good time to change allegiances. Even if you graduated, maybe take a class at University of Phoenix. And then just say that's
DeVry.
That's your new school that you're going to root for because they are hot garbage.
I'm interested in your feelings on the fake fair catch.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It was genius. It was kind of similar to what TCU tried to pull off with the man laying down in the end zone, and then too bad that they didn't execute that properly, or that would have been another great special teams play. We saw a couple of them happen right in college and pros with the Texans, but I loved it because. You really are falling asleep. They fell for it. And the scary thing is if they don't fall for it, that kid's probably we're planning his funeral right now because he would have been demolished.
So I'm with you. I absolutely loved it. And Lisa and I were watching it together, and she just had the complete opposite response.
Why?
Exactly for what you said. Because now she said that, you know what, guys are going to tee off on guys when they're even the slightest bit unsure because they don't want the embarrassment of having another one of those plays happen. So if they haven't seen that hand really high over a guy's head, they're going to tee off on guys as they're looking. People are going to get hurt. And she went off on that rampage. I go, that's shocking. You and I would have different sides on an issue like this. But I thought it was fantastic.
Is she a Razorback?
No, she's a graduate. Bruin. She's UCLA.
Oh, that's even worse.
Well, right now it is.
I'm trying to figure out who's worse, UCLA or Arkansas.
I think UCLA could beat Arkansas right now.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm with you because they got rolled by Colorado State and now North Texas. That's hot garbage.
That's embarrassing.
Hey, it's official. Josh Gordon is a New England Patriot.
There you go.
Interesting.
And his hamstring is healthy enough for him to play this Sunday, according to Adam Schefter.
Now.
Are the Patriots playing the Browns? Because that would seem like such a Patriot thing to do.
Right? Because remember when Coleman got traded from the Browns to the Bills, they played the very next week in preseason?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would be interesting to see. But you know what? If there's anything that can resurrect Josh Gordon on and off the field, it's probably the Patriots' way.
I would hope so. Barry, I apologize if my tweet Saturday night was worded too strong. I wasn't trying to be confrontational. Still, I think GGG won, though it was a closer fight this time.
You get into it with somebody?
Well, so I was watching the fight, and I was giving my two cents during the fight, and I said, you know, I felt like Triple G was winning the fight based on points, but he was just peppering him. He wasn't doing any damage. Canelo was doing more damage, especially early on. And then I think about midway through the fight, that changed a little bit. But Triple G really found his wind in his second win and really started turning it on. And then I felt like, you know, Canelo won the last round. I thought it was a close fight throughout. I didn't have a problem with the decision. I personally thought Triple G won the fight because of the work he did early. Though I knew he wasn't going to get credit based on the judges for what he was doing, but he was outpointing him. He just wasn't outboxing him. Canelo was landing this better punches.
Nick. Yeah, I mean, I scored the fight for Triple G seven rounds to five. I'm with you. There was a couple of rounds I felt like that perhaps Triple G connected more, but Canelo had more of the strong shots, and I gave the round to Canelo because of that. And look, I got called out too. P-Ran Dizzle called me. I was like, yeah, man, they paid you off too just because of this one particular tweet. And I just want to clarify this because Jong responded to this too. But what I said was that particular fight, this is not the fight for you to go back and say it's going to discourage you from buying a pay-per-view. Now, if you're not going to buy a pay-per-view because of what boxing has done to you in the past, I agree with you there. Mm-hmm. But this is not the fight to be a contributing factor to that. That's what I'm saying. Now, the decision may have been wrong. A lot of people agree with me in that Triple G got screwed.
A lot of people think that way.
Okay, but at the same time, if you thought Canelo won, that's fine too. He didn't get robbed.
No.
He didn't get robbed, totally, and it was a good fight, and they both brought it. And that's what I was trying to say. So, P-Ran Dizzle, I'm not trying to say that they didn't pay me off. I'm just saying that particular fight, that's not the type of fight that discourages you from dropping $65. If every fight on a boxing card was like that, people would spend more money.
I think Fred had it spot on. If it got to a decision, he didn't think there was any way that Triple G was going to win. And I think, because I've heard the sentiment from a lot of people that all feel like it either should have been a draw or that Triple G won.
I don't know how you can come out and definitively say that. I thought that Triple G won the fight. But I have no problem that Canelo was given it. You're talking about 115 to 113. That's one round. Are you mean to tell me that you don't think that there was one round and maybe even two that could have gone one way or the other?
The other way, yeah.
In fact, there were several rounds in that fight that could have gone either way. Even Harold Letterman's weird ass
was
like,
at least three rounds that could have gone either way.
Jim, let me tell you, this is harder to score than you think. Like, even he was like, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. I can't feel my body. Like, he had no clue. What was going on? But it was a hard fight to score.
Do you think if you could take Letterman and Larry Merchant and combine them, you could get someone that could speak at least a decent pace? Because Larry Merchant is still giving his post-fight recap right now, but because he only gets one word per hour in, it's taking a while.
I haven't seen him in a while, but Harold Letterman is hilarious. And I found this thing on YouTube where they went to Harold Letterman. All it says is, Jim, let me tell you. And they did. It's like a 7-minute video of him going, let me tell you something, Jim. Jim, let me tell you. That's every time that they throw to him, he says that.
As opposed to Larry Merchant.
Some of the boxing analysts are getting a little lazy. I'm just going to say.
Speaking of boxing analysts and weirdos and crazy stuff.
I know where you're
did
going.
Y'all happen to catch the tweet that I put out?
I retweeted
it. Fight
I didn't even see that
analysis
happen.
Of Stephen A. Smith and Teddy Atlas.
Atlas, yep.
I swear they looked drunk. They started throwing jabs in the analysis, and Teddy Atlas is like, no, not like that. And you could tell that Stephen A. Smith did not like the fact that Teddy Atlas was getting, was just outdoing enough. Him.
Yeah. He was like, just as spoken, getting just as much
he
as
was
attention.
Like, this is crazy. You don't do that. You got to, it's like a matador. And he's going off. And then at one point, he steps in front of Stephen A. Smith on the camera. So he's out front. And you could tell Stephen A. Smith was like, nope, you're not going to outshine me. Because then he just starts interrupting him. He starts going,
see,
and interrupting him. And you're like, bro, let that man have his moment, Stephen A. He's obviously old and senile. And then Stephen A is like, you're wrong, Teddy Atlas. This is how you throw a jab. Teddy Atlas is like, that's not how you throw a jab. It's just, it was chaos.
And the thing was, it started out as shtick, which got them a whole lot of pub when they were going at it on the last fight. But now you can tell Stephen A got a little irked by it.
Yeah.
Because you're right, he's stealing his shine and he didn't like it.
They just looked insane. Absolutely insane.
You know, he wasn't really worked up, though, or upset until you heard him do
You're talking Stephen A.
Atlas? Yeah, when Stephen A. really gets worked up.
That's what I'm saying.
And he doesn't say a single word. He just keeps.
And then Teddy Atlas is looking over the balcony while Stephen A. is talking. I was like, what is going on right now? Are they also drunk? Like, I've been drinking a little bit tonight, but are they drunk? It was wild, dude. That was, if you missed it, man.
And meanwhile, Larry Merchant. Here's a guy who won the fight.
Yeah, that's why they only use him for like promotion, like leading up to the fight or after the fight.
Yeah.
They don't really use them that much.
Just let him blog or teach someone tweet for him, because then we can finally get it all in a concise fashion instead of waiting for the 6 words per minute.
Okay, Jim. 5 rounds to 4. I don't even know who's fighting. Just what's going on, man?
Winner.
Gotta find a new guy to do
just
that.
Just a winner, Jim. All right, we'll be back with more. It's Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects. It's Barry. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's a Monday here as we're having some fun on both SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Covered a lot of ground today, fellas, but one thing we haven't covered is the Houston Astros took care of some business this weekend. They won the series against the Arizona D-backs, so we're going to get to that and some baseball along the way because we did not forget, and some breaking Rockets news from the day. But before we go to all that, let's go to the phone.
Yeah, Ruben wants to talk to Triple G Canelo. Ruben, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I was just listening to you guys talk about the fight, and, you know, I watched the fight, too, this weekend. You know, I was going for Canelo, and at the end of it, they were showing the fight stats, and they showed that Triple G had twice as many landed. He landed, I think it was like 120-something to like 62. But, you know, those were like little jabs where Canelo was landing power punches. And if you just went off of, at the end of the fight, if you looked at both their faces, Canelo looked like he broke a sweat and just had worked out, and Triple G looked like he just got beat up.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of mentioned that. I said I gave 2 or 3 rounds where I felt like, or at least 1 or 2 rounds where I felt like Canelo won the round based on punching power alone, and he didn't get the same number of punches landed as Triple G. I mentioned that, and I actually gave him the round. I'm actually comfortable with giving a 10-8 round in the event that someone has way less striking but much stronger punches. Like, if you land 2 or 3 good punches and you knock somebody down, I'm actually more comfortable giving a 10-8 round. 10-8 rounds, judges don't even like doing that. Mm-mm. So, I mean, yeah, to your point, you make a good point. Some of those rounds, or at least 1 or 2 of those rounds, Canelo got hit more, but he landed the better punches, and maybe he got a couple of those rounds on the judges' scorecard.
Yeah, and everybody I was with, I don't think anybody was mad either way. So I think overall, a lot of people in general thought it was a great fight, and, you know, are just glad it was a great fight. More than that, paid $65 for it.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Roman. I'm with you. I'm just grateful that we didn't have to another draw where we have to buy a third pay-per-view just to get a decision. It'd be like having ties and, oh.
Oops.
Wouldn't want that.
No, we wouldn't want that at all. But, yeah, you know, it's funny, too, when you look at, you know, Jim, when you look when you look at the fight, Canelo landed the power punches early on, right? It was obvious that he was getting peppered by Triple G, but he was landing the better, more solid shots. But the only one that was ever really hurt in this fight was Canelo. When I don't know if it was the 11th or the 12th round, but he was wobbled. Canelo got, or Triple G got to him, I think it was the 11th round.
He landed a good uppercut.
Yeah, and had him hurt.
Yep.
And that was the only time in the fight that anybody was really in trouble, was that, I think, 11th round.
We going to see this matchup one more time?
I don't think so.
No?
I think Triple G's too old. I think, I don't think, I think now that it's been settled, I don't think you could dupe boxing fans. Maybe you could, but it will take another year and a half. By that time, Triple G would be like, you know, 60 years old. Yeah, I just don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I had that discussion with Fred and AJ. I mean, AJ thinks it might happen. You know, the other host, Matt Perrault, made a good point in that, you know, Canelo may not do so well with mental warfare, and the fact that he got the W, he may not want to fight Triple G again. But exactly. If he had lost, he might be clamoring for another fight.
Oh, sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out. I don't know why Floyd Mayweather made that announcement the day of the fight, and I don't know if that's really true, but I do think it's dumb. That's a waste of money.
The Pacquiao, I was going to say, that's the other thing.
You guys want to drop another $100? You guys want to drop another $100 on Mayweather Pacquiao? Go ahead.
Especially how the last one went, because it wasn't exactly compelling boxing.
Yeah, I'm great for the sport. No. You ain't getting my money. I mean, if it happens to show up on my computer screen somehow, because my cat walked across it and accidentally went to an illegal website, I wouldn't turn it off.
Because they had to poop?
Yeah. Astros. We got to talk Astros.
Yeah, let's talk Astros because they did what they were supposed to do. They took care of business. They got a win yesterday against a tough pitcher in Zach Greinke. Verlander did what he does best. I mean, Verlander, when you look at his stats and you look at the numbers, man, you talk about getting better with age. He's having one hell of a season, and you think it back to all those games that he left with a lead and either got a no decision or they just let it get away or won it late and didn't get him what he deserved. He's had one hell of a year for this team, and winning 2 out of 3 against the Diamondbacks, and I said it was a big series. You didn't expect what you got in return, which was the Rays to take 2 of 3 from the A's. Now you got a 5-game lead in the division. You're getting close to, at the very least, solidifying a playoff position. And you really made a statement that I was very pleased with in the fact that you took on a team that is fighting for their playoff lives, that are in the knee deep in a divisional race of their own, and did some really good things.
Yeah, and you look at a team where it feels like that losing streak wasn't that long ago, but man, that was over a month ago. And in fact, Astros haven't lost a series in over a month. I think it was the A's series this time last year, August 17th of last year, when they lost that series. But since then, and that was following their losing streak, but since then, they've won or split every series that they've played over the last month. That's called turning it up down the stretch. Of course, they got healthy. That helped. But yeah, 4.5 now up, 5 up in the loss column, and going in different directions. I think the A's have lost 2 in a row, so that helps. And I think it's over for Arizona. They're 4.5 back of two teams that are just on fire right now.
Dodgers lost last night, but overall, to go into St. Louis, another team fighting for their playoff lives and a wild card team, and to take care of business 2 out of 3 games there, too, that was big.
Yeah, and I tell you, I say on fire. I mean, but they're not scuffling. How about that?
Right.
The Diamondbacks are scuffling right now, and the Rockies and Dodgers are still hanging in there. In fact, I still stand by what I said. I think the Dodgers will get that second wild card spot. I think St. Louis
might
be overmatched.
That was a good call. I still think they're going to win the division. I do. Okay. I just think there's too much talent on that Dodgers team. And look, in the National League, no one wants to see that train coming down the track in the first round of a 5-game series.
No, and sorry, Josh Rapp. I know that's not a popular opinion for you, but I feel like your Cardinals are just going to be on the outside looking in when it comes to the playoffs. But any other? Did you watch a lot of baseball this weekend? I really didn't.
I was very much into football this weekend. I caught up on scores. In fact, yesterday I had to go back and see how the Astros did because I was watching Astros Saturday night. I'm always, if there's, you know, I have that on, or at least I'm flipping back to it. But yesterday was so enthralled with football. Dude, that
I'm watching football. I'm like fully into it, right? I'm watching everything yesterday. I go into the bedroom. My wife is watching the Astros. I was like, what are you doing?
Really?
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm just watching the game. I was
Lisa pulled the fast one on me and said, I just want to watch football with you for a while. I'm like, what?
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, she didn't want to watch. She didn't want to watch the Packers with me because no one does.
No.
And two, I think she finally found amusement in the fact that now I have taught Taylor the greatest thing ever because all I got to do is say, go, and she goes, Packers!
Oh, how cute.
So she knows.
Yeah, that's great. You know, my wife will watch just about anything. We were actually talking about the fact that we used to watch, when we first met, we would watch boxing all the time when we were dating. She would come over and we would just watch whatever fight was on that week, even just weekly ESPN fights, not even pay-per-views. One sport I can't get her to watch with me is basketball. She can't watch basketball. Do you know why she won't watch basketball? Because the shoes squeak too much.
Really?
That was her reason. It's just so noisy and annoying just to hear that squeak, 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 squeak the whole time. I was like, damn it, now I'll never be able to not hear that.
Yeah, for you that does not like the ambient noise thing.
Oh, my God. Now I'm going to hear that every time. I'm going to have to watch basketball with the switch. Bill Royal's still calling games, so it's not going to hurt my feelings to watch it with the sound down.
Oh, you're right, Bill.
So, yeah, I'm ruined now. Thanks a lot, honey. I'm ruined watching basketball.
Well, you know what's
basketball.
So funny about that? When I was, as a kid, playing Little League basketball, I was super excited about the Anthony Hardaways when they first came out.
Uh-huh.
But when I wouldn't wear them until I played my first game in them. So I played my first game in them, and it was the loudest squeak all the way up and down. And I didn't realize it, and people in the stands are complaining about it. It's so funny. I'm just just running up and down the court in these brand new Hardaways. Just squeak, 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 squeak.
Who is this dumbass kid with these new shoes? Did you not walk on concrete first?
And then my mom comes up to me after the game, like, why are you making so much noise when you're running today? I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, oh, it must have been the shoes. Someone told me it was the shoes. I'm like, okay.
I'm sorry, Mom. I was just dripping with excellence. And I was just running through it, making all that noise. That's hilarious, dude. All right, we got like one more segment to go, right? We'll be back right after this. But first, I want to tell you folks about Vortex. Vortex is Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio. I know that's a mouthful, but it's real simple. It's both rumble and spin classes. Those rumble classes are the boxing classes. And you want to talk about a great workout. Go hit a heavy bag for 45 minutes. Man, you will burn a ton of calories. I asked the guy at Vortex, what does he think that they, you know, I would be burning in an average 45-minute class? He said maybe somewhere around 500 calories. That's insane. I could run 5 miles and not burn that. It's a great workout, and it's a full body workout, whether you do the spin classes or the rumble classes, and all it takes is 45 minutes, so it's not a lot of time investment for you to get your workout on. It's luxurious, man. This place is top notch, but the great thing is it's affordable. $25 classes for the spin or the rumble class, or you can get a $40 unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. And then they also have a monthly plan where you can do an unlimited rumble or ride membership for $195. It's outstanding. It's a great workout. The spin studio is here in Houston. 3 rows of bikes. No other place like it in the country. 3 rows of bikes, 48 bikes total, and their boxing classes are sometimes taught by Olympic boxer Charles Blackwell. Yeah, so it's not just some guy that doesn't know what he's talking about. It's an Olympic boxer in there teaching you and working you out. And by the way, I was there last week. I'll just say this. The scenery, it's pretty nice. 4-1 was the ratio as I counted it. And it didn't suck at all. So another reason to get out there and get your workout on. And you don't need any equipment. They've got gloves. They've got wraps. They've got the shoes for the spin classes. You can get it all right there. Super cool, man. Restrooms are nice. The locker rooms are nice. Easy to get to. 1707 West Gray right there in the River Oaks Midtown area. They've got morning and afternoon classes. And it's right there off of West Gray. So easy to get to and get out of. 1707 West Gray. Give them a call. 281-501-3094. That's 281-501-3094. Give him a call. It's Vortex. Tell him Barry sent you.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final segment, Usual Suspects. ESPN 97.5, SportsMap 94.1. When we wrap up and say bye-bye, you don't have to go anywhere.
Bye-bye.
And the Blitz will be joining you from Jack's Grill over in the Shepherd area. So they're on location there today. But again, simulcasting all the way till 7 o'clock. They'll take you home. Breaking news, or somewhat breaking news, big news coming out of the basketball world in your Houston Rockets last night. It's news that's worth addressing because it's a big deal that's even bigger when you think about what the Rockets have been through this offseason. Jeff Bezdelic, the defensive coordinator for your Houston Rockets, has called it a career. He's decided to retire. He's walking away from the game. Said he wants to spend more time with his family. And at 65 years old, he figured the time was right. I got a couple of issues with this.
Okay. What is your issue, sir?
I first wrote them.
And/or
you guys
man.
Can get the overview. I wrote an article on sportsmap.com last night about why this is a big loss. Because you lose 2 of your 5 best defensive players, as you and I have identified.
Yep.
Didn't replace those guys. And now you lose.
Well, Corey Brewer.
Oh, boy. He's not signed yet either, by the way.
I know. I'm just. That was their answer.
I thought you were going James Ennis on me.
No.
And then on top of that, you lose the architect that made them. And people say, well, how big of a loss? It's really the players.
Huge.
No, you know what? Before they had them, they were last in rebounding and 21st in overall defense. Last year, they were in the top 6 overall. They were top 3 in rebounding. They consistently climbed the ladder ever since he's been there. And I'm going to tell you something, gang. I'm going to give you a little pro tip here. But this, to me, stinks. And the fact that he has told several sources this has nothing to do with his health, his family's health, or anything like that. This one to me is I went back and did a little research last night writing this article and realized he was Melo's first coach in the NBA.
Oh.
First year they made the playoffs. Second year he wasn't around very long. And it was over. And to me, the fact that if he truly didn't have that fire burning anymore, and he's one of these guys that's got to give 150%. Pat Riley called him in the modern game the best defensive mind that's out there. So you know that, and he outworks everybody. He was in the Bahamas, gang. He went to Bahamas with this team. So to me, as he went to that trip, he was all in for another year. The fact that he came back and now he's all out.
He just got reminded of who Carmelo Anthony is.
That sends me a red flag that I don't like. So there's some house cleaning and some things that need to be done. It'll be interesting to see if they replace him, because now you're less than 9 games away from the start of training camp. There's not all these big-name defensive gurus and other experienced NBA coaches that are out there. You got a roster that screams Matt Braze, who I love, who was coaching their D-League team. They're moving up to be on D'Antoni's staff. Ain't nobody in that locker room that's going to listen to Matt Braze right off the top and say, yep, I'm going to do what he says defensively, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to grind it, and I'm going to give you more, and I'm going to do more, and I'm going to rebound more. Nope. They need someone that fits the roster that they have. This is going to be interesting to see how
Mario
this plays
Ellie.
Out. I threw it out there. I thought it'd be great. I don't think it's going to happen. It's unfortunate. But Mario is a guy that definitely fits
the bill. Oh, he was on your
bill.
List?
He's a guy that I said.
As a defensive guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he was on Avery Johnson's, you know, he was known as a defender. He was on Avery Johnson's staff that focused a lot on defense. He's in China currently with Gerald Green on a promotional deal. But overall, he said at the present time, he's not even worried about coaching. I kind of broached the subject with him. But it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Because again, this close to training camp, a move that's this abrupt sends up a lot of red flags to me, especially because you're trying to figure out a whole new set of personalities and everything that goes with it with Carmelo Anthony. So,
by the way, Mandy said, I used to be a football-only girl, then my husband taught me about basketball, and now I'd much rather watch basketball. So we'll go for you, Mandy. Over-under on 5 touchdown catches for Josh Gordon with the Patriots. I'll take the over because of who's throwing to him.
One game?
No, for the season.
Oh, okay.
It's not Pat Mahomes throwing in the ball now.
I mean, it's not Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's Tom Brady.
To me, he's got to prove that he can stay on the field for an entire season.
Yeah, there's
stay
that.
Above board.
But I'll still take the over.
Okay.
You know, I feel like you're going under.
I'm
going
to go under.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who you got tonight?
Tell you what. I mean, as good as the Bears defense looked week one, it'll be interesting to see how they contain a guy that can really get out and is mobile in Russell Wilson and try and contain him. But I don't think overall Seattle has all the talent they had in the past, but they have an experienced quarterback, and that's not what the Bears have. And the Bears showed a little bit lackluster offensive performance when the game was on the line last week.
Yeah.
It's in Chicago, but to me...
And they're favored by 4.5.
The Bears are?
Yeah.
I think that's solely for their defense. I really do.
You don't think? I mean, I thought Trubisky showed okay.
In the first half, he did.
Yeah.
I mean, first drive, they went right down the field. They scored.
Yeah.
You can make the argument the defense went downhill in the second half, too.
Yeah.
The defense started running out of gas. I mean, you got a guy on Khalil Mack that had not done anything in training, had no training camp. I think he's only going to get better as he gets his wind and gets his legs under him. But I think at home, jacked up crowd, I think the Bears win the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think they win outright, and I think they cover too, which I didn't have as good of a week as I did. Last week, I went 11-5 picking against the spread. That's pretty good. Yeah, this week, so far, I'm 6-8-1. Back down to earth I come. But yeah, I'll take the
That's
Bears.
If you're
I'll
anywhere take, over 50%, you're doing good in gambling.
Yep, I'll take the Bears and give the 4.5.
Okay.
Just me. Nick, who you got? Who you got? And I think the Bears win straight
Nick's got
too.
The Cowboys.
Hey, they won, right?
Well, yeah, they did.
They got a W.
They looked good against the Giants.
They did. I don't know if that's going to continue on, but
it saved.
But at the
bacon.
Same time, Eli Manning got touched quite a bit. I mean, he was.
He did.
He was. I don't see how. I mean, he's such a professional. That post game, I'd be so mad if I was Eli Manning. I don't know why.
Me too.
But in terms of that game, man, I think I'm going to go ahead and pick Seattle.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't seen enough. I feel like Seahawks kind of lost a close game too against Denver. I think Denver had like a really good start of fourth quarter, and they were able to score and make things, build momentum for themselves against Seattle. And they're both 0-1 teams. I feel like Seahawks might want it more. I know the Bears are favored, but I'm gonna pick the Seahawks.
All right.
When you look at the numbers, teams that start 0-2, they're not good. So if Seattle does have any aspirations of being relevant, they got to have that win. I think from the Bears' perspective, trying to beat the Packers and Vikings ain't going to be easy this year.
No. I'm with you. By the way, I've got to get this flight to Portland. And I remember Fred and AJ saying that sometimes it's cheaper to fly out of Austin than it is to fly out of Houston. I can get a round-trip flight to Austin, or from Austin to Portland and back, for $137.
Oh, man.
That is ridiculous.
On another top-notch airline that you love?
No, Frontier.
Okay.
They're pretty bad.
There you go.
But I don't care.
Make sure you pack your bag.
It's cheap.
Yeah. And get charged for them.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Fred, AJ, John, the Blitz, they're next. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. They're coming to you live from Jack's Grill. So they're on remote. You can join them if you care to. Otherwise, they're going to be here live and in living color on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy. ESPN 97.5.